Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Happy Monday to one and all. I trust that you're having a fantastic day. I trust you're on the verge of having a fantastic week. And most importantly, I trust that you have a desire to just get out there and get it done, that you have a desire and a longing and a passion to get out there and affect change, to just do what you can do to get out there and change the course of this country, to change the course of education, not only education, but just the country. That's what we want to do. I feel like we change the course of the country by changing education, because I think education's upstream. Everything else is downstream. The saying is that everything is downstream of culture. Politics is downstream of culture. Business is downstream of culture. The arts and entertainment and science, it's all downstream of culture. And that's true, but culture is downstream of education. That is true, because what this generation is being educated and how they're being educated, that's what's going to manifest in 10 years and in 15 years. Because these kids are coming out of school and they've learned all this, and now it's gonna manifest itself in the future. We know that to be true. So it's important that I believe we can predict the future. We can look and see what's being taught, and then we can see what it's going to look like in 10, 15 years. And we currently know what's being taught. Last week, I played clips for you from the Education Subcommittee on Capitol Hill. And witnesses came in and they testified to the destructive nature of DEI that is being presented in college campuses. And it was strictly limited to higher education, but we know it's not limited to higher education. While the testimony focused on higher education, we know that it's K-12, and we know they're starting as young as kindergarten. This is the travesty of it all. And this is why we need to change it. So you might ask, what in the world can I do to change it? And I talk a lot about getting involved in grassroots. And last week, Friday, if you missed Friday's show, go back, get it. You can pull it out of podcast. On Friday, I interviewed Marianne Engstrom, who is the head of the Michigan chapter of an organization called Don't Mess With Our Kids. And talk about grassroots. This group is grassroots, and it is sweeping throughout the country. They have an event planned on April 13th in every capital in the nation, every state capital on April 13th from 1 to 3. We'll have people at the Capitol steps worshiping, praying for change in this country, including Washington, D.C. There will be people in Washington, D.C. as well. This is a movement, and it wasn't started by a big national figure. It was started by a person. So a lot of people will ask, you know, what can I do? I'm just little old me. I'm just over here, you know. The head of the Michigan chapter, Marianne Engstrom, she's a grandma. She's got grandkids. And she's like, I just need to get out there. What can I do? What can I do? I've got to do something. Instead of sitting around in a rocking chair, focusing on needlepoint. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with sitting in a rocking chair and focusing on needlepoint. Don't miss my point here. There's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy a little bit of relaxation as much as the next person. But you cannot spend, if you're a grandparent, you cannot spend your golden years in perpetual relaxation, sitting in the rocking chair. You can't. You have enough wisdom in that brain and that mind of yours, and you have enough experience that you need to share with a younger generation. And it's incumbent upon you to scan the landscape with your vision and decide, okay, where can I interject myself? I've got enough wisdom. I've got enough experience. I need to inject myself in someplace that needs change. Yes, I'm speaking to the older generation right here. I am. If you are a grandparent, listen, enjoy your time with your grandkids. I'm not saying don't enjoy your time with your grandkids. Do it. Love your grandkids. Spend time with them. But when that time is done, don't go back to the rocking chair. Get yourself a schedule that will allow you to change things. Because regardless of how you feel about it, you're the leader here. Grandparents, this generation, lead us into it. Now, you might not have the strength to do the heavy lifting, and that's fine. You don't need to do the heavy lifting. You've got younger kids that can do the heavy lifting. My conversation with Marianne was fantastic because she's just, let's get out there, let's go, let's get out there, let's go, let's jump into this thing, let's make it happen. So you might be asking, what in the world? What can I do? How can I change the trajectory of the country, of the nation? And I don't think we start there. I don't think we start with changing the trajectory of the country or the nation. We start local. What can we do that is local? That's where we start. I have a beautiful example of this. Just a perfect example. Let's go to history class. Yes, there is a historical example that we're about to dive into via history class. Let's go back to 1766. Yes, this is even before the war. Even before the Revolutionary War for Independence, 1766. On this day, March 18th, 1766, after months of protests by American colonists, Britain decides to repeal the Stamp Act. This is the anniversary of the repealing of the dreaded and feared Stamp Act. Oh, yeah, no taxation without representation. You know the saying, you know the statement. All of you, probably not all of you, those of you my age, you grew up on Saturday morning watching Little House Rock. You know, no taxation without representation. That was the angry cry of American colonists when the British Parliament passed laws requiring them to pay new taxes. Britain had spent a great deal of money to protect the colonies, especially during the French and Indian War. So they had come out of this war. Britain had footed the bill, and Britain felt like, we're over here fighting for you guys, and you owe us. You need to pay this war bill. You got to pay this war debt. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna institute this thing. We're gonna call the Stamp Act. The colonists, however, took a different view. They were used to being taxed by their own assemblies. Sure. I mean, they didn't mind it. They paid taxes. I mean, nobody wants to be overtaxed. But still, we understand that it takes money to work a government. And we get it. All right, we're gonna pay our tax. We're gonna pay our fair share. But these guys had no representation in distant parliament. There was nobody over there on the other side of the pond who they elected. No, there was they were being taxed without representation. And that was upsetting to them. As they saw it, they were being taxed without their consent. They especially hated the 1765 Stamp Act. All right, and this is what just inflamed them. Listen to the, let me pull up the list here. Here's some of the things that were that were taxed. I mean, this is just okay. Here's the list. It said that most printed materials had to have this stamp, including licenses, contracts, wills, newspapers, pamphlets, almanacs, and even playing cards. They couldn't even go and play poker. They couldn't play gin rummy. They couldn't play anything that didn't have the stamp on it. They literally had to pay for their entertainment. Their entertainment was taxed. Their reading material was taxed. Their contracts taxed. Licenses taxed. Taxed, taxed, taxed. Tired of it. The act inflamed the colonists because of this official stamp, which had to be on every piece of paper. And the colonists had to buy it. Riots break out. Mobs attack the homes of royal tax officials. It was a mess. You know, people are upset. They're angry. They want this thing to stop because the Americans, again, had no representatives elected by them serving in the British Parliament. And their view, and rightly so, I believe, the Stamp Act was a violation of their fundamental rights as citizens. So this is a national problem. The Stamp Act just doesn't affect one colony. It is colony-wide because, you know, the king sitting over there on his throne, it says the colonies need to foot the war bill. We went and we defended them. Let's make them pay it. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to put this stamp on everything, and then they're going to have to pay for the stamp. Oh, think of all the money we're going to make. We're going to have this war debt paid off in 6 months. And then we're just going to stick money in the coffers. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to drain these people dry. And that was, you know, I don't know that that's what the king was saying word for word, but that's what's happening here, friends. That's what's happening. And it's a national problem. Many Americans spoke out against the Unjust Stamp Act, including ministers such as Reverend George Whitefield, Reverend Charles Chauncey. Also, political leaders spoke out. James Otis, Samuel Adams. These guys are all speaking out. But there's one individual, one lone individual, who is the tip of the spear here. And he's the tip of the spear locally. He decides, okay, we're gonna do this thing locally. And he affects change by sharing his values, by sharing his opinions, by taking this what he believes as an inappropriate tax, because he's not being represented. It just was thrust upon him. He verbalizes that, and he does so in such a way that changes the entire trajectory of the nation. But he doesn't do it nationally. He's not a big name. People don't know him. They don't know who he is. He's not grand on the stage at this point in time, like some of the other big names and big leaders. But he does it locally. You know his name now. We all know him, Patrick Henry. You know, later on, he would give the famous "Give me liberty or give me death" speech. At that point, when he gives that speech, yes, he's known. At that point, people know who he is. But here in the Stamp Act days, nobody has ever heard of young Patrick Henry. He's relatively unknown. When he's elected to the Virginia House of Burgesses, this happens shortly after the passage of the Stamp Act. So the Stamp Act is passed and he gets elected. So he's a newbie. He would be considered a freshman in Congress. The freshmen, they don't have the clout. They don't have the backing. They don't have the will of other congressmen and women behind them. I mean, they're freshmen. They have to come in and pay their dues. They have to come in and sit, and they have to watch and see how it's done. And then they can learn. And then maybe we'll give them a seat on a committee somewhere. But this is not the attitude of Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry, shortly after he's elected, he's new to the state assembly. But when he gets there, he discovers that none of the senior legislative members are willing to oppose this tax publicly. Now, behind closed doors, they're all like, "That king, we don't," they're all grumbling about it. But he discovers that not a single one of them has the oomph to make a public statement in opposition to this Stamp Act. And now he feels compelled to take action. Who are he comes in here as the newbie and he's looking around and he's thinking to himself, why don't these guys that have been here forever say something about this? So he takes action. He pens a resolution against the Stamp Act and he introduces the resolution in the legislature. He's like, hey, if you weak cowards aren't going to do anything about it, I am. Goes to his desk, writes out this resolution. And then he presents it on the floor because several members were staunchly pro-British at the time and they supported whatever the king did. They were pretty upset. They were angry. They did not want to be seen. They wanted to be seen in the good graces of the king. They did not want to be seen by the king as somebody who would oppose the king. That's not what they're there for. They're there to be yes men. They're there to do whatever the king wants them to do. Now, remember, Virginia is a royal colony. Virginia is a colony that's under direct control of the king. But Patrick Henry, one man has a voice. All right, I'm up against the break, and there is more to hi of history class to come. More Patrick Henry. We'll dive into it on the other side. Oh, it's such a great story. All right, you're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back to The Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us today. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot at americaoutloud.news, where you can listen on the world-class media player, as I know many of you do. But if you're like me, you might enjoy listening on the app. I've downloaded the app. You can download the app, the America Out Loud Talk Radio app, for your iPhone, your Android, or even for your Alexa if you wish. And there you can listen live. Or, of course, you've got the iHeartRadio option. You've got a bajillion options. You can find us in podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're there. We're going to be there. So we're just grateful that you're out there. We're grateful that you're listening. This is a smart audience. This is where America goes to get their news and information. It's where smart people go to get their news and information. AmericaOutloud.news. It's also where smart people go to buy products. AmericaOutloud.shop is loaded. I mean loaded with good products, and I use them. I don't just talk about them. I use them. You know the Cofix RX has bailed me out on countless occasions. And you know I'm taking the spike support from the wellness company because I don't want that nasty spike protein in my system. You know what COVID did to me. You know how it made my heart rate go up to 250 beats per minute. I don't want any of that. I don't want it. I don't know what it does to the heart to make it speed up, to work through. You know, maybe you've seen these autopsies where they're pulling out clumps of nastiness. I don't want that in my system. So I do. I take the spike support. And I'm also currently taking the HealRight Metabolic Health Bar. HealRight is new. It is a brand new, they are providing a brand new product to the platform. And I take them. I eat them because I want to stay healthy. I want to listen. I've got a purpose here. All of you have a purpose here. And with having a purpose, it should be our objective to stay healthy. And there are products here at AmericaOutloud.shop that are just, that's their purpose. And if you use coupon code OUTLOUD, you will get 20% off. 20% off of these HealRight metabolic health bars by using coupon code out loud. And I'm telling you, they're delicious. They are, they're wonderful. They've got the banana flavor. They've got the blueberry. They've got the apple fig. They've got the dark chocolate cherry, if you like it. I think my favorite is the banana. But listen, I eat these because I want to stay healthy. My metabolic health is important to me. And specifically, here they are involved in helping the microbiome of the gut health, and that's what I'm interested in here. I don't think I have the high cholesterol. I don't have a blood sugar imbalance. I don't feel inflamed. Blood sugar and blood pressure and all of that. I think I'm good, but I'm concerned about my own microbiome because of all the antibiotics that I've had. Before I started taking Cofix RX, I was on antibiotics, I feel like, every other week. And the things that I've discovered, what that does to your microbiome, I mean, it's not good. And I want my microbiome to recover. That's all I'm saying. So listen, AmericaOutloud.shop, it's full of wonderful products. Coupon code OUTLOUD. All right, because listen, what we're doing here, and I'm not referring to me here behind the microphone. I'm referring to all of us. What we're doing here in terms of saving America is one of the most important things we can do. And we have to stay healthy. We've got to stay, in the game. Now, so we're talking about this very thing. We're talking about affecting change in the country. What can I do? What can one person do to change the course of this thing? And so I've been diving into the story of Patrick Henry. And I started in the first segment talking about how the Stamp Act was this national thing. It's a national tax. And people all over the colonies are not happy about it. They're upset about it. They're screaming, "Taxation without representation. How dare you? How dare you, British Parliament? How dare you, King? We need, and people are talking about it. Shortly after the Stamp Act is enacted, a young Patrick Henry is elected to the House of Burgesses in Virginia. Now, Virginia is a royal colony. Virginia at the time is considered the big dog on the block. I mean, Virginia, they're the first, all right? Jamestown and all that. They're the first to show up. They've got the most clout. Virginia has the most clout. And their legislature is the House of Burgesses. I mean, that just reeks of clout, doesn't it? We're Virginia, and our legislature is called the House of Burgesses. I mean, that's what it feels like. And so Patrick Henry gets elected to the House of Burgesses, and he's just a young whippersnapper, and he's angry about this Stamp Act. And he's looking around, and he sees all of these House members, and they've been in the House forever. And he's looking at them, and he's thinking, why aren't you guys angry about this? Now, they'll talk about it behind closed doors amongst themselves, how they're upset about it. Well, wow, this is a travesty. Something needs to be done about this. But yet, none of them is willing to stand up and make a statement publicly because they don't want the king to think ill of them. Because they're all, in actuality, they're all the king's lapdogs. They're just yes men for the king. Now, remember, Virginia is a royal colony. It is one of the colonies that's under direct supervision of the king. I mean, the king's in charge, not the governor, the king. I mean, there were other colonies that weren't set up that way, but not so in Virginia. So these men are afraid to talk publicly. They're upset privately. And they're willing to complain and probably bash the king privately behind the doors that are closed. But publicly, they're not going to say anything. And this is upsetting to Patrick Henry. He's this young kid. He doesn't know enough to know when to stay in line. And you got to love that about him. I do. I personally love that about him. He doesn't know enough to just keep his mouth shut. Oh, little Patrick, why don't you zip it? You're going to blow it for all of us. Just keep it quiet over there. Well, that's not his style. He pens a resolution that is adamantly opposed to the Stamp Act. But he just doesn't pen the resolution. He introduces it in front of the House. He goes to the legislature and, you know, he doesn't care about all the members who are staunchly pro-British. And he doesn't care about these members. They're going to support whatever the Brits do. They're going to support the king no matter what the king does. But Henry is not like that. So here's what Henry said. Later on, he writes this. Upon offering the resolutions to the House, violent debates ensued. Many threats were uttered and much abuse cast upon me. Yeah, these guys didn't like it. They don't want the young whippersnapper upsetting their little apple cart. They got a gig going here. They've got name, they got recognition, they got title. You know, they're in favor with the king. And then you get this young kid who shows up and wants to change things. Come on, we can't have that. No, look, Henry, here's how it's done. We just talk about it. We just talk about change, but we don't actually do anything. I mean, that's not our job. Our job's just to get mad and complain. But you can't actually do something. Oh, what does that sound like? Wow. It must be inherent in the DNA of Congress members. That's just their thing. We're just going to talk. We're going to talk a big game. But then when you got somebody who says, no, we're not going to talk a big game. We're going to make change. We're going to go in here and we're going to make it happen. And they start vocalizing. You know, it reminds me of Matt Gaetz. Because Matt Gaetz is hated by both parties because he upsets the apple cart. He doesn't, I mean, I don't care what you think about Matt Gaetz. He's not a fan of the status quo. He wants to get things done. That's my opinion of him. That's the way I see him. I mean, I think Matt Gaetz and Patrick Henry are cut from the same bolt. So, you know, the people there that have been there for a long time, they're upset. They violent debates ensue. Many threats are uttered and much abuse is cast upon Patrick Henry. Now, at one point in the discussion, this is where it just gets rich right here. Henry brought up what he felt were applicable lessons from the past. He started with ancient Roman history, pointing out that when Caesar usurped power, Brutus rose up from within his own government and killed him for the good of his country. Just on the Ides of March, just a couple days ago, we talked about it. Beware the Ides of March. And so, you know, Brutus, he rises up, he and other senators, and they kill Julius Caesar in a horrible fashion, mind you. But they do it for the good of the country. And Patrick Henry is drawing this comparison. And then Henry reminds them of their own English history. And it's not too far off, mind you, when King Charles I similarly seized arbitrary power and Oliver Cromwell had risen up and had Charles executed for the good of the country after Oliver Cromwell engages in this civil war. You know, he leads the people in a civil war against Charles I. And he's victorious. And Charles I has his head chopped off. And so here's Patrick Henry, and he's drawing these conclusions between the current king and Caesar, and then Charles I. And can you just feel the tension building up? They're thinking, well, what in the world is Patrick Henry doing? Is he going to call for the execution of the king? We are Virginia. We are the big dog here. We're the big player on the block. We are the colony that all the other colonies look to, and we're a royal colony. We're under direct control, supervision, guidance, oversight by King George himself. And here Patrick Henry is now making these comparisons. Look what Brutus had to do to Caesar. Look what Oliver Cromwell had to do to Charles I. And you can feel the tension. You can feel it mounting. And you can feel these ancient old dogs in the House of Burgess is looking around and thinking, holy cow, he's going to have our heads on a platter. So somebody better put this little kid down. He's going to have our heads on a platter. Then Patrick Henry brought the lesson home to the current British king, the current ruler, King George III. And here's what Patrick Henry declared. He stands up and he hollers, Caesar had his Brutus, Charles I, his Cromwell, and George III. But before he could get it out, these other members, they just couldn't take it anymore. They knew where this thing was going, and they start shouting, treason, 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 treason. They start shouting him down, treason, treason, treason. And this erupts from all over the room because they then believed that, you know, Patrick Henry's calling for the murder of King George III. But without any hesitation, Patrick Henry doesn't miss a beat. And he repeats himself. But George III, he says, may profit by their example. If this be treason, he says, make the most of it. And he nimbly turned the debate in an unexpected direction that these guys didn't see coming, and he refused to back down. Refused. He wasn't going to call for the death, for the execution of King George III. He just said, let George learn a lesson from this example. Let George go back into history and let George study history for a minute and learn the example. And he just flipped the debate. He just turned it upside down on its head. But he's an unknown. He's a freshman. Doesn't have a big name. Doesn't have a big following. I mean, he does now. He's a big name now. And he's got a big following now at this point because people are paying attention now, both for the good and the bad. I mean, there are people that are falling in love with him, and there are people that are, he's got enemies. But he's not afraid of that because he knows what's right. He's not afraid of the enemies that he's about to create, because he understands he's on the side of right. He understands he's on the side of truth. And he's got history to back him up here. And he's already cited two examples of history that are in support of truth. And he's not afraid to speak truth. But he's just one guy. He's just one unknown young man. And here's the point I'm making, is that he's starting local. He's not trying to create this national movement to nationally change things. He just wants to affect change where he lives in Virginia. He just wants to get these guys that he's around. He wants to get them to wake up. He's trying to get them to open their eyes. But he's just starting local. And he's just one person. So if you're out there thinking, I'm just one person, I don't know what to do. I mean, who am I? I mean, who am I to do anything to stand up? Well, all you have to do is just do it and stand up. I mean, who you are doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a nobody. I mean, we're all a nobody. That's irrelevant. Patrick Henry was a nobody. Yeah, he got elected to the House of Burgesses, but nobody knew him. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody cared. He's just this young kid. But then he shows up and he looks around and he realizes these guys aren't here to do anything. They're just here to smack their lips together and for just lip service. That's all that they're here for. Well, I'm here for change, and I'm going to do it. And he does. And he just simply verbalizes his values. He says what's true. He speaks the truth. And people don't like it because people are afraid of the truth for whatever reason. Self, you know, preservation, you know, all that. These guys wanted to stay in the good graces of the king, and they were upset about all that. And so they were after him. He created enemies, but he didn't care. Because he knew that just by speaking his values that he could change things locally. And I say it all the time here, speak your values. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're just with your family or if you're at work, you know, you're with a coworker or wherever. If you're at church or you're hanging out in the neighborhood and you're just at the fence talking to your neighbor. Sometimes just sharing our values in just the politest of ways, you know, the non-offensive ways. Sometimes that's all it takes. All right. Listen, we are up against the break, so we will pick more of this up on the other side. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutLoud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutLoud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. All right, so we're talking about taking a stand, but we're talking about one person, just one person affecting change. And the historical example that we're using is that of Patrick Henry. And today is the anniversary of the thwarting of the Stamp Act. Today is the day that the British legislative body said, okay, we're done. We are not, can't take it anymore. We're going to rescind the Stamp Act. And this happened in large part because of Patrick Henry and because of what he did in the House of Burgesses. Here's what he would say later on. This is Patrick Henry's own words. After a long and warm contest, by the way, I just love the language. The contest was warm. You know, he said that earlier, he said, violent debates ensued. Many threats were uttered and much abuse cast on me. And then he refers to it here as a long and warm contest. He said the resolutions passed by a very small majority. So his resolutions against the Stamp Act, after a long debate and after Patrick Henry standing his ground and drawing this analogy that, look, the King of England, he needs to look at the examples in history that are there before him. The example of Julius Caesar and the example of Charles I, and learn from those examples. So there's this long debate. His resolutions against the Stamp Act finally pass. And his words, after a very small majority. And then he says this is interesting. The alarm spread throughout America with astonishing quickness. And the ministerial party, which was the pro-British party, were overwhelmed. The great point of resistance to British taxation was universally established in the colonies. This is important because, as I said earlier, Virginia was the big dog on the block. Out of all the colonies, Virginia's the big player. And when this came through, that there was a resolution that passed in the House of Burgesses that condemned the Stamp Act, then this spread like wildfire. And in his words, the alarm spread throughout America with astonishing quickness. And the pro-British party, they were overwhelmed. They didn't see it coming. They didn't expect it. Nobody expected it to come out of the House of Burgesses because, again, Virginia, it's a royal colony. It is literally controlled by the king. And then you've got the representatives in that colony putting their foot down. This brought on the war. This is what Patrick Henry says. This brought on the war. Patrick Henry might be the person that single-handedly brought on the war with his steadfastness. Now remember, he wasn't going after this nationally. He was attacking this locally. And this is my message to you, that we can change the course of the country by just going after it locally. One person going after it. I've got an example here, which maybe if I have time, I'll get to. Martin Kulldorff, who announced just a couple of days ago that he was fired from Harvard and also from the hospital that he worked at because he didn't get the vaccine, that they just cut him loose, let him go. He is a modern day example of somebody who's just standing up and just doing what he believes in to affect change. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to finish Patrick Henry. Just let me finish. All right. So Patrick says this brought on the war, which finally separated the two countries and gave independence to ours. Whether this will prove a blessing or a curse will depend upon the use our people make of the blessings which a gracious God hath bestowed on us. Patrick, I do believe, based upon your words, I'm just talking to Patrick Henry here for a second, that it has proved to be a blessing. It's not only proved to be a blessing to us, to this nation, to this people, but to the entire world. What you guys did in 1776, I'm having a conversation with Patrick Henry right now. What you guys did in 1776 and what you did in 1765, sir, yes, has created blessings for the entire world. And those blessings, they're under attack. The freedom that you established, Mr. Henry, it has been under attack ever since. And right now we are in the throes of it. We are in the throes of it. He continues, if they are wise, talking about us, they will be great and happy. If they are of a contrary character, they will be miserable. Righteousness alone can exalt them as a nation. And there he's citing Proverbs 14:34, where righteousness exalts a nation. That those are the words of Solomon. And he's speaking to us right here in his statement. He's speaking to future generations. If you are wise, you'll be great and happy. If you are of contrary character, you'll be miserable. And that's what we're in a fight for right now. It's the fight of the wise versus those of contrary character. And we're fighting for the very soul and happiness of this country. And it doesn't take a great person to take a stand. It doesn't take a well-known individual. It just takes normal people like you and me. Normal everyday folks who just care about the country, and we're going to speak what's right. We're going to speak the truth, even though it's contrary to conventional wisdom or contrary to what the elites believe. You know, we don't care. If it's truth, then we're going after it. He keeps going. He says, reader, whoever thou art, remember this, and in any other sphere, practice virtue thyself and encourage it in others. There's the key right there. If you and I just practice virtue, and if we encourage it in those around us, then my friends, there's hope. We can turn this tide. His passionate speech alone single-handedly turned the tide. The fact that he stood up in the face of those do-nothing legislators in the House of Burgesses, and he said, here's what we've got to do. That turned the tide in Virginia, which turned the tide in the country. One early historian reported this about Patrick Henry. Quote, he was hailed as the leader raised up by Providence for the occasion. America was filled with Mr. Henry's fame, and he was recognized on both sides of the Atlantic as the man who rang the alarm bell which had aroused the continent. His wonderful powers of oratory engaged the attention and excited the admiration of men, and the more so as they were not considered the result of laborious training, but as the direct gift of heaven. Yeah, they felt like, you know, Patrick Henry had a gift of oratory straight from God. He did not train laboriously. Now, he studied under a minister, which is quite interesting, Samuel Davies. Patrick Henry spent a lot of time with Samuel Davies. Samuel Davies was a very influential Presbyterian pastor in Virginia. He served as a lawyer. He became a noted educator. He was well known both in America and in Europe, and his sermons were published on both continents. Some have claimed that he was the greatest pulpit orator in American history. And for decades after his death, his sermons were still widely circulated. In his last years, he was president of what is now Princeton. And this is the man that Patrick Henry hung out with. When he was a boy, his mother joined Davies Church. She always took Patrick to church with her. And each Sunday, as they rode home in their buggy, Mrs. Henry and Patrick would review the sermon together. Hearing the great Davies preach week after week after week greatly influenced the development of Patrick Henry's oratorical skills. As affirmed by an early biographer, here's the quote, Henry's early example of eloquence was Mr. Davies, and the effect of his teaching upon Henry's life may be plainly traced. Henry openly acknowledged that Davies was the greatest orator he had ever heard. But Thomas Jefferson spoke very highly now of Patrick Henry. Here's what he said of Henry's speech. He was there. Thomas Jefferson was a member of the House of Burgesses. He was there. He heard the speech. Here's what he said. Of Henry's speech, Thomas Jefferson replied, I attended the debate and heard the splendid display of Mr. Henry's talents as a popular orator. They were great indeed, such as I have never heard from any other man. Later, Thomas Jefferson would say that Patrick Henry was the greatest orator that ever lived. So Patrick Henry referred to Samuel Davies as the greatest orator he had ever heard, but Thomas Jefferson referred to Patrick Henry as the greatest orator who had ever lived. Because of Henry's efforts, in conjunction with those of patriots and other states, the British Parliament repealed the Stamp Act, and today is the anniversary of that repealing. When unofficial word of that decision reached America, many pastors preached sermons in celebration. Then when official word finally arrived, the Massachusetts legislature called a statewide day of prayer and thanksgiving to Almighty God. On that day, the Reverend Charles Chauncey, who was a Massachusetts pastor who had openly opposed the Stamp Act, he delivered a famous sermon commemorating the glorious event, as did many other ministers. And 50 years later, it was John Adams who looked back and identified both Chauncey and that sermon as a catalyst in the early movement leading to independence. So certainly, Patrick Henry lit a flame. He started a fire. Patrick Henry poured gasoline on that fire just because he didn't want to back down. And this is my point. This is really what I'm getting at. It took me three segments, but we're here. He was nobody. He was a no name. Nobody knew who he was, but he was so passionate about what he believed in. He just went after it, and he didn't care who stood in his way. He just wanted to speak the truth. And it reminds me of Kulldorff, Martin Kulldorff. He's a Harvard medical school professor who refused to get a COVID-19 vaccine, and now he's been terminated. And this is what he's just now revealing. He's an epidemiologist. He was fired by Mass General Brigham in November 2021 over noncompliance with the hospital's vaccine mandate after his requests for exemptions from the mandate were denied. According to one document, Mr. Kulldorff was also placed on leave by Harvard Medical School because his appointment as professor of medicine there, quote, depended upon him holding a position at the hospital. Mr. Kulldorff asked Harvard Medical School in late 2023 how he could return to his position. And you know what he was told? He was just simply told, sorry, you're being fired. The reply from the dean of faculty said, you would need to hold an eligible appointment with a Harvard-affiliated institution for your Harvard Medical School academic appointment to continue. But you don't hold that appointment because you didn't get vaccinated. The demand was that he be vaccinated. And he applied for exemptions, and those exemptions were denied. She here in this article is out of the Epoch Times. It's entitled Harvard Medical School Professor Was Fired Over Not Getting COVID Vaccine. And the she here is Dr. Grace Wang, who's the Dean of Faculty Affairs. She said the lack of an appointment combined with college rules that cap leaves of absence at 2 years meant he was being terminated since he had been, you know, since he was out for 2 years. It was just, they marked it up as a leave of absence. Kaldorf is now disclosing the firing for the first time. In an article with the Epic Times, or no, this is a spokesperson from the hospital, the Brigham and Women's Hospital. The spokesperson told the Epic Times, "While I can't comment on the specifics due to employment confidentiality, I can confirm that his employment agreement was terminated November of 2021. And Kaldorf, he had COVID-19, and he said, "Look, I've got natural immunity. I don't need to be vaccinated." And he talks about this in the article. Mr. Kaldorf expressed his concerns about receiving a vaccine in his request for a medical exemption, pointing out a lack of data for vaccinating people who suffer from the same issue he does, meaning that he had already had the disease. He had already had COVID. Here is his quote. He said, "I already had superior infection-acquired immunity, and it was risky to vaccinate me without proper efficacy and safety studies on patients with my type of immune deficiency." This man's a doctor. Don't you think he knows what he's talking about? He wrote this in his request for a religious exemption. He highlighted an Israel study that was among the first to compare protection after infection to protection after vaccination. Researchers found that the vaccinated had less protection than the natural immunity. So here's what he says. "Having had COVID, I have stronger, longer-lasting immunity than those vaccinated. Lacking scientific rationale, vaccine mandates are religious dogma, and I request a religious exemption from the vaccine." And his requests were denied repeatedly, and he's still unvaccinated. As a dissenting voice, he co-authored the Great Barrington Declaration, which called for focused protection of people at high risk while removing restrictions for younger, healthier people. He was one of the leading voices in this, and he still is one of the leading voices. He's just somebody who's willing to stand up. And Harvard, they're out there firing him. This other hospital, they're out there firing him because he's not doing what they tell him to do. And they're not giving him the restriction, or not the restriction. They're not giving him the exemption that he's requesting. I don't know. They just arbitrarily pass these things out and they decide who's getting them and who isn't. Here's Kaldorf. He's a doctor who's had COVID, wanted an exemption. And this hospital in Harvard said, "No, sorry, you got to go. You got to go." But he was a voice who spoke out against the government. Is that why they're just telling him to be gone? Is that why? Because if that's why, listen, this should not deter us. This should encourage us more and more and more and more to speak our values, to speak out what is right. That's what we got to do. Let's take advice, my friends, from Patrick Henry, and let's stand up and let's speak the truth. All right, we are up against it here. That's all the time we have for today, America. Thank you for joining me. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Let's unite to renovate the age.